Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 30. 1 to 13. And that's on page 1042 in the Pew Bibles. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
In my world, and in yours too, I imagine, there are a lot of distractions that keep us in our own worlds, and we're too busy to pray. And I don't feel at peace when prayer is rushed, as if to tick a box. God deserves better than that. So how should we pray? What to say to him? If I'm not in prayer mode, if I'm feeling spiritually dry, I have an inspiring leaflet which I bought from the Lee Abbey Christian community in North Devon from their little shop. It's written by Bill Colclough, a past member of the community. A poem called "Just Talk to Me." This is verse 1. It's brief. "Don't be afraid if you don't understand. Don't fear that you won't do it right. Don't worry about performing. Just talk to me." And the following verses in the poem address all sorts of things that might make someone apprehensive to just get on and pray. Every concluding line is, "Just talk to me." Our Father God very much wants to spend time with us, wherever, whenever, whatever we mean to say, even if we don't know where to start or how to say it. Jesus prayed often, regularly, and at other times. He made time, putting other things aside. That's the example that Jesus set. "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." The disciples saw Jesus pray and desired to pray as Jesus did. It must have delighted him to hear his follower ask him to teach them to pray. Indeed, it was the custom of for a rabbi to teach his disciples how to pray, a simple prayer that they might habitually use. His disciples wanted to get started. So Jesus taught them a prayer. It's an outline, it's a structure, a model to follow, to help us to talk to God and to make the most out of our prayers. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father. And some manuscripts follow that with Our Father and make it Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And in some manuscripts it's followed by May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Jesus begins by calling God Father, teaching his disciples to come into God's presence and acknowledge him as Father. The Almighty God adopts people into his family. He desires to adopt everyone. He adopts only those who through faith recognize Jesus as his son. All those who are in Christ Jesus by faith, we may call him Father. So Jesus immediately instructs his disciples to praise God. And true praise begins with knowing God the Father. Hallowed be your name. We mean your name is holy, set apart for divine purpose. It warrants the highest praise. God is the creator and owner of all things and all people. All people are accountable to him, to love and serve him. Praise befits God because of who he is. Hallow his name. Recognize that God is worthy to receive all honor and praise. Note the order. God and his glory and the reverence due to him come first. Your kingdom come. It's easy to just say it, your kingdom come, but what does it mean? We look forward with eager expectation to the day of the coming of Christ Jesus. We desire that God's name be honored by all the world. But it is more than that. More than desiring the fulfillment of God's kingdom, Jesus directs his followers to submit to the kingdom of God rather than rule over their own lives. Indeed, your kingdom come pledges our involvement, our commitment. Give us each day our daily bread. It's a prayer of dependence. We depend on you, Lord, daily to meet our needs. Jesus is telling us not to selfishly demand anything, but rather draw us to a life of dependence. Indeed, radical dependence. In a literal sense, it is bread for one day that we pray. This goes back to the book of Exodus, manna in the wilderness. Only enough for the needs of the day might be gathered. The Israelites in the desert were not to worry about the unknown future, but to live a day at a time. Likewise, we are not to worry about the unknown future. It doesn't mean we mustn't do a weekly shop. It doesn't mean we should not make plans. Metaphorically, daily bread means all our everyday needs, physical and spiritual. It covers all of life. It covers all need. Come to God for today's needs, today's grace, today's joy, and today's peace. In prayer, put aside the thoughts of if only I had and what if you gave me, for give me each day my daily bread. He doesn't want weekly check-ins. Just as a good and faithful father cares enough about his children to help them, provide for them, and love them every day, God our Father wants to trust and depend on him every day. So we become aware that he watches over us, is aware of us. Next, he tells his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." We need to be aware that we are dirty, that our sins hurt. They hurt God, and sometimes they hurt others as well. In this prayer, Jesus teaches prayers of confession and the need to be forgiven and to forgive. Confessing sin is not the same as talking about sin. Neither is it the same as explaining our sins. It includes acknowledgement of our responsibility, so we share in the pain. Jesus instructs us to habitually confess our sins. It is through the confession of our sins that we draw closer to God, and he corrects and reforms us to be more like Christ. We are in a battle against ourselves. And some people say, follow your heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says this, "The heart is deceitful and above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" So follow your heart. Yes, God gave you your heart, but it has become deceitful. Check it out with God at every turn. "For we also forgive everyone who sins against us." Forgiveness is more than forgetting and excusing, for they can fix only small matters. As God forgives us, so should we each other. I want to be your friend again. Let's start over. It hurts to confess. It hurts to forgive. We make our shared pain the starting line of a renewed relationship. That's forgiving. Jesus is saying that our forgiveness of others is a sign that we have been forgiven by God, because how we treat one another is a strong indication of our relationship with God, or lack thereof. "And lead us not into temptation." Some manuscripts, it's followed by, "but deliver us from the evil one." We pray to God for our protection in the battle we all have with sin and evil. Recognizing that we are in a war with spiritual forces of evil is important. In that context, Jesus tells us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Temptation never originates with God, but from the spiritual forces of evil. Temptation itself is not a sin, but if it is not defeated, it will lead to sin. From a biblical perspective, to tempt means to submit to a test. God allows temptation. God allows trials to come our way so that we may grow in spiritual maturity. When we pray for God to not lead us into temptation, we appeal to God to not permit us to fall prey to a temptation. We daily call upon our Heavenly Father for protection against the schemes of the devil. God only allows endurable temptations to come to us. Jesus taught his disciples a prayer structure to give context to help us to talk to God. God and his glory and the reverence due to him come first. We declare our dependence and we ask for forgiveness to put ourselves right with God and with our neighbors, brothers and sisters. Then he told them a parable. Now, to make sense of the parable, there are a few things we need to know. It seems a big fuss about a loaf of bread. Travelers often journeyed in the evening to avoid the heat of the day. In Jesus' story, such a traveler had arrived towards midnight at his friend's house. Hospitality was a duty, not merely a social custom, it was a duty. It was a sacred obligation to welcome strangers, travelers, and those in need, provide food and shelter. Inns were scarce. It was rooted in the belief that hosts could be unknowingly entertaining angels. In the villages, bread was baked at home. Only enough for the day's needs were baked. It didn't keep well, and nobody wanted it the next day. So the late arrival of the traveler confronted the host with an embarrassing situation. Because his larder was empty, he couldn't fulfill the sacred obligation of hospitality. Late as it was, he went out to borrow from a friend. The friend's door was shut. No one would knock on the door unless the need was imperative. In the morning, the door was opened and remained open all day, for there was little privacy. But if the door was shut, that was a definite sign that the householder did not wish to be disturbed. But the embarrassed host was not deterred. He knocked and he kept on knocking. The poorer houses consisted of one room. Families were large, and they slept on sleeping mats on the floor, close together for warmth. Further, in the villages, it was the custom to bring in the livestock, the hens, the cocks, the goats, into the house at night. For one to rise was inevitably to disturb everyone. Is there any wonder that the man who was in bed did not want to rise? But the determined borrower knocked on with shameless persistence until at last the resident, knowing that by this time the whole family was disturbed anyway, he arose and gave him what he needed. Now that story, said Jesus, will tell you about prayer. He urges boldness, ask, seek, knock. The lesson of this parable is not that we must batter at God's door until we finally compel him in weariness to give us what we want, until we coerce an unwilling God to answer. And it is, we are not coming to someone out of whom gifts have to be unwillingly extracted. From verse 9 onwards, he tells us that the parable is based not on likeness, but on contrast. God is not like that neighbor. If a none too pleased neighbor can in the end be coerced by a friend's shameless persistence into giving him what he needs, then surely will God, who is our loving Father, supply all his children's needs. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Let's pray further and deeper beyond our daily needs to how we may grow and serve the Lord our God. There is a supplication, that is a big prayer request that God loves to receive. Jesus emphasizes this. He offers the gift of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are God's greatest gifts. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus tells us, in all things, pray expectantly. Jesus was praying. He prayed often, regularly, and at other times, is the example he set. He taught his disciples a prayer to help us talk to God. Know whom we are praying to. Know his fatherly love for each of us, his greatness, his desires, and that he's always at hand. And know why we pray. Prayer is an act of worship. Prayer is talking to God. Only by praying each day can we expect to know him. And as we come to know him better, we will spend more time in his presence. Amen.